Ever wonder how you can help your kids heal their colds, UTIs, rashes, earaches, and more from a mind-body perspective? Well, today is the day. I'm laying it all out on how to help your kids using DNM and subconscious work. You'll be surprised that helping your kids starts in a place where you've never considered before, and it's going to change everything. Get a pen and paper because this one is packed full of goodies. Are you ready to stop the overwhelm and frustration and instead simplify your healing? I'm your host, Jenny Peterson, a chronic illness coach who helps those with chronic symptoms identify and release the unconscious patterns that are blocking their healing. That's right, I take out all the fluff, the supplements, the diets, the detoxes, and teach you how to heal just using your mind. I never said that it's easy, but it can be simple. If you're serious about getting back your life and health, it's time to put focus on the one area that will help you get there, your own mind. Just a disclaimer, I'm not a doctor. I am a coach that is training in GNM. I have worked with hundreds of clients successfully using this biological approach to healing. Take the information that I'm sharing as you will and to your doctor if necessary. Now, if you're new to GNM and subconscious work, you may think that from the outside in, working with kids is difficult, especially when they can't talk. Honestly, working with kids is easier than you think. Think about it. They haven't had years of programming and bad habits. From a brain perspective, their brains are very moldable at this time. They can believe one thing one day and have it be something different the next day. Change is much easier for them than an adult brain that has strong pathways that have been traveled for many years. As an adult, you've had years of traveling the same patterns. Your brain has files of subconscious proof, which are memories, for why you do the things that you do and why you believe what you believe. You have habits that are wired into your brain that you unconsciously do every day. Change gets harder and harder as you age because the patterns are so well traveled in your brain. Simply put, changing subconscious patterns as adults is much more difficult than with children, in my opinion. Hence why all of our programs and courses for adults are a minimum of 12 weeks. There is a deeper level of work that is needed. Anything less doesn't create lasting change. And I want you to keep this in mind as you help your kids with their health symptoms. Their brains are perfect for doing this kind of work and assisting you as a parent to help them become healthy, conscious beings. On that note, let's dive into how you can help your kids when it comes to their health. Now, whether you're new to GNM and subconscious work or you're just getting started, I think it's really important to go over the basics because it's going to help you understand what I'll be discussing later. Number one, all symptoms in the body are about survival. The body adapts when it gets a message that something doesn't feel safe. Symptoms are an adaptation to what it considers to be a threat, anything that risks your survival or safety. Keep in mind that this most of the time is not physically safe, but emotionally. For example, not feeling confident or not feeling safe to speak up are all messages that don't send messages of safety. Our brain is very primal, which is something we are not taught. At all times, all our body wants to know is, do we need to adapt? Because you're built for survival, and these programs are ancient. Things that you don't think are a big deal can be big messages to your nervous system. Number two, symptoms are part of the healing phase. They are not an indication that there is something wrong, but if the symptoms don't go away or come and go, it means you're in a hanging healing. This simply means that your body isn't getting the message that it's safe to fully heal. The healing process is getting interrupted. If you have chronic symptoms, you're in a hanging healing. Acute symptoms like the flu that may last a week or two are simply healing symptoms. GNM teaches that your symptoms are not an indication that there is something wrong. It is the expression of a normal function. There is adaptation during the conflict phase when a situation is stressful and you're experiencing frustration, etc. Like in the case of the sinuses, during the time of conflict, there is erosion or widening of the mucosal cavity of the sinuses. And so that's an adaptation so that you can bring in more. You can smell better so that you can bring in more to detect the scent. And then when you resolve the conflict, that is tissue restoration. So the runny nose, the stuffy nose, the swelling, when you don't feel good, that is an indication that your body is restoring and repairing. Number three. You can't catch someone else's healing phase, meaning cold, sickness, the flu, etc. Yes, I know this is a hard one due to how we've been programmed to think about germs, viruses, and bacteria. But remember that germ theory is only a theory, and it comes from this idea that the only thing that's real is physical material. And we don't take into account the emotional state, the perceptions, or what's going on with the individual. You may also question this when you have experienced one person in your family having cold symptoms and then others in the family getting symptoms too. Keep in mind that as a family, we are all connected and our energies are picked up by other family members. We think the same in many ways, have the same beliefs and have the same fears, etc. So how one family member responds to situations will often be similar to how others do as well. This is how colds can travel from family member to family member. This also explains how one person in the family may not get symptoms. They may perceive situations differently than the rest of those in the house. So yes, you can't catch a healing phase, aka cold. You can pick up on the energy of a conflict and have your own conflict in reaction to something someone else is dealing with. So if you have the idea in your mind that Sally is sneezing and she seems to have a head cold and I'm going to catch it and that stinks because I don't want to have a head cold, that will create a stink conflict. Then you get the same symptoms that Sally had and you didn't catch her cold because of the bacteria or virus that jumped onto you. You created your own conflict based on how you perceived Sally's cold. Keep in mind that when the body goes through the tissue repair phase, viruses, which are protein particles, are present at the site, but those particles can't be transferred to someone and make them ill. There's never been solid proof of contagion. They have done studies on this and they cannot prove that there is a bug that jumps from person to person and makes everybody down the line sick. We are programmed that there are these cooties that everyone has and we need to stay as far away from them and not get them as much as possible. This in itself is very harmful, especially when we teach this to our kids. So now that I've laid a solid foundation, let's dive into the subconscious and kids' health. So when my son was born, I still owned my holistic wellness center. I, of course, thought that my son would never get sick because I was doing all the right things. Well, the universe was laughing at me and said, boy, is she in for a surprise. Starting at around 8 months old and up until he was eight, my son experienced a cough that would last for weeks practically every other month. Just when he would get better, it would come back again. My ways of helping him at the time were to load him up with remedies. I can still remember how my kitchen counter looked, bottles of tinctures, homeopathics, and teas everywhere. My husband would stay home with him, and I gave him strict instructions on what to give every hour and what foods were off limits. I was so frustrated that nothing ever seemed to work and that my son was like this, knowing what I was trained in. After he was 9 years old, it was like everything just stopped. He very rarely got cold and cough symptoms anymore. What created this change? Well, I changed. 3 years prior to that, I was on my own healing journey, cleaning up all my subconscious patterns. When he reached nine, I was a new mom and a new me. The changes that I created inside of me also changed him. Making this connection was huge and helped me see the impact that we have on our children's health. Once I learned subconscious work and GNM, the way I helped my son when experiencing symptoms completely changed. Today, my approach is very different, and I can be thankful for my own healing journey for that change. I have a few experiences I want to share with you that will help you see what this looks like. My son had an ear infection after I returned from a business trip when he was about nine. I got a call from the school nurse saying he didn't feel well, that she suspected an ear infection. I brought him home and knew immediately what it was back to. An ear infection is all about not hearing or wanting to hear something. I wasn't able to talk to him much when I was away as I was in classes all day and only could talk to him at night. Once I was home, he was able to hear my voice again and he went into a healing phase. When I brought him home from school, I cuddled with him, told him how much I missed him, and spent time with him, just him and I. Within an hour, his symptoms were completely gone. Then when he was about 11, my son's right shoulder was really bothering him. He didn't injure it, it just came out of the blue. When it first happened, I told him that he must have resolved something, so we just need to let his body do its thing. Well, the pain was lasting about 2 weeks, and he finally said, "Mom, can you do your thing to find out what this is connected to so it can get better?" So we sat down and talked about what this may be connected to. and mentioned that it had to do possibly with his dad or grandpa and feeling like he wasn't good enough. We fished around and didn't seem to come up with anything. So I asked him how the shoulder pain made him feel. He said like he wasn't good enough to play football and sad. So using those words, which are subconscious clues, I asked him what happened just before his shoulder pain showed up that made him feel that way. He again couldn't find anything. But then I remembered that a few days before his pain started, that he had talked to my dad on the phone. I asked him if there was anything that Grandpa said that made him feel that way, and he said yes. We found it. So from there, I had a discussion with him about what my dad said, validated how he felt, and helped him shift his perception. Within an hour, he ran into my office and said, "Mom, my shoulder pain is gone." My last story is when my son was 12. He developed warts on the bottom of his left foot and top of his left hand. Being that it was on his left side, it had to do with myself and it was connected to separation. So when he showed me these, he said, "So what are these connected to, Mom?" I sat down with him and talked about the feeling of wanting to separate or not separate and what that meant. So I asked him, "Are you wanting to spend more time with me or are you needing some space from me?" He said, "Well, I really don't like when you interrupt me when I'm in my room working out. I would like to just be left alone until I'm done." Now, the old version of me might have gotten defensive about that, but my new self totally understood. His body was telling me what he was feeling, and I needed to honor that. So we had a discussion around me no longer interrupting him when he was working out. We hugged, and I told him that I'm glad that we could work it out. Now, warts take some time to go away. They are buildup of skin from reoccurring triggers, so I knew they wouldn't go away immediately. I explained that to him as well. I said, "We talked about it, now we just need to let your body do its thing." We didn't look at them the next week or anything to see if they were gone, didn't focus on it at all, just left it alone. Then after about 2 months, he ran up to me and said, "Mom, all my warts are gone," and showed me his feet and his hands, and they were all cleaned up. Now, these examples show us how powerful the mind is and how when we trust our bodies, they truly can heal on their own. It also demonstrates how kids really can do this work too with a little bit of guidance. Learning this work has given my son a gift that will forever empower him to be his own healer, and I'm so grateful for it. Now, the number one question I get is, how do I access my child's subconscious and make the connections to their symptoms? Now, we often think that just because they can't talk like us as adults, that it's not as easy to access this part of themselves. And this is actually not the case. The same way that you can identify an adult subconscious pattern can be done with children as well, through their body. Their symptoms tell you everything. From utero up until the age of 7, a child is connected to their parents, mostly the mom. So when there are health symptoms between those ages, 90% of the time, it's going to go back to what is happening with mom. These are the times when you as a parent will need to look at what is going on in your world. The other 10% will be back to how they perceive something through their own eyes. After the age of 7, you can talk to them and often find the connections like I did with my son. Never assume that a situation wasn't stressful for your child when looking for the conflict. It doesn't need to be a huge trauma for there to be a conflict. Remember, it just needs to feel unsafe to the body. Once someone gets to be in their early 20s, then there is deeper work needed to unpack everything. There's going to be more unpacking needed due to all the programming that was done in their childhood. So resolving your child's conflicts is all about restoring the sense of safety, because ultimately that's what it's all about. Our body wants to survive. That's its primary focus. So when they are infants, they are feeding off of your energy. What are you fearing, thinking, or experiencing in your life? What changes need to be made to make changes within you? My son fed off of my fears so much as a young child. He even started thinking and talking about food the way that I did. For infants, I like to have parents talk to their children when they are sleeping. This is the best time to talk to the subconscious. If you can identify the conflict that they experienced or something that you were going through and you know they picked up on your fear, talk to them. Have a vulnerable moment with your child and say, "I'm so sorry that I yelled at you or that you felt like you couldn't have this thing. Everything is okay. You are safe. You are loved." Once they are older, like I said, after 7-ish, you can have conversations with them, help them shift their perception to the situation or create a plan of how to change the situation. Remember, when they are experiencing symptoms, they have already resolved the conflict. So there isn't anything you need to do but support them in their healing. With the examples I used about my son, the only reason we had a discussion around them was because they weren't going away. You will need to identify the very first time your child started having their symptoms as the first step. From there, you will go back just before the symptoms started and look for what happened that connects to what conflict they have. So for example, if they have a rash, then you will go back to the very first time the rash showed up in their life and look at what was happening just before that, up to 6 months before, that they wanted or they didn't want to separate. And this again can be about you if they are under 7. And then from there, you want to resolve the conflict by shifting the perception or taking a specific action to resolve it. Now, I do have a plan B that I use, which again is back to the subconscious work that I do, that you heard in the example that I used with my son. I asked him how the particular symptom that he was experiencing made him feel. And those feelings and how he described that symptom, not physical sensations in his body, but how it emotionally made him feel, helped me make the connections to the event and the situation that happened. That's like a plan B that you can use, that if you can't find something that is connected to the specific conflict that they have, find it through what we call, this is called the pathway technique, where we're able to make the connections through how they describe the symptom, which is a subconscious pattern. So that's always an option for plan B if the first step doesn't work to make the connections to what the situation was. Remember, symptoms mean healing. So it means they have resolved it. It's when something stays around and stays chronic that we need to dive into it. Otherwise, leave it alone and just support the body. Now, I encourage you to look at this process with curiosity and not be in such a hurry to get rid of symptoms. When we are in a hurry to get rid of symptoms, we're missing out on the message that our body is trying to tell us. We are still in the world of needing to fix, which isn't where healing can take place. It may take some time to make the connections to your child's symptoms. If they come and go, you may need to track them to find the links. Keep a journal of when they show up and what was happening a few days before. Eventually, you will see a pattern. Even if you can't identify the original conflict that started the track, you can still address it with a new response. If you know that your son's rash happens every time he leaves home, then maybe you need to work on the fears that you have with him leaving or help him shift his perception about leaving home. How can you help him respond to leaving home in a way that feels safer? This goes for you as well if he is under 7. A question I always get is, can I still give my kids remedies when they're having symptoms? And yes, that's entirely up to you. But I will say that more remedies isn't going to make the process move along faster. The remedies that are best are those that support healing or make them emotionally feel better, like rubbing some chest cream on, taking a bath, a soothing tea, a homemade cough syrup, etc. The biggest and best remedy to help your child heal is for you to not freak out. Be their support and safety. If you freak out, they will feel that. Learning this work isn't supposed to scare you. It's actually teaching you about your body and to trust. That's going to require you to shift out of your old beliefs and programming. It's going to take some time, but this isn't meant to scare you. This is meant to actually empower you. So I'm going to go through some common symptoms that kids have and their conflicts. Understand that I won't be able to address everything here. This is just a starting point. It's going to take additional learning to address your situation because each one is very unique. That's why I offer the Raising Healthy and Conscious Kids course, where you can get support for your individual situation. So let's take a look at some of these common kid symptoms. Sinus issues. This is a stink conflict. It means that something literally or figuratively stinks. They're literally saying, you know, I can't believe how bad this stunk. Or, you know, when I walked into the room, I was so surprised by that smell. Or this sucks, this stinks, I'm frustrated, I'm annoyed. Those are all those type of emotions that are going to come with a stink conflict. Chest colds are either a scare fright or a territorial fear. Things like arguing in the home, bullying, being yelled at are all often connected to this. There's a lot of other things. Territory is anything in their territory. It could be in their bedroom. It could be in their home. A scare fright is anything that made them feel scared. You know, so this isn't going to be narrowed down to one or a couple of things. It's really the perception of what your child has and what he experienced within these categories. A scare fright is still a very large category, and a territorial fear is also a fairly large category. We have to just narrow it down to what it is in that child's experience. And then rashes, it's a separation conflict. This is where they're either wanting or not wanting to separate. And again, this can be, if it's all over the body, it's a general separation conflict. If it's on the arm or the legs, everything has a connection in that way. But we really just want to focus on what is the separation? What is the separation of something from that location? Where on that body is there no longer a touch or wanting to separate? You know, some kids, their parents rub the top of their head and they might get a rash on their head when they no longer see them or are not able to be around them as much. These are all things that we have to be looking into, but that location tells us the spot that isn't being touched. But like I said, if it's all over the body, then that's a general separation conflict. Acne is feeling attacked or soiled, dirty, ugly, or gross. Now, acne is more of a teenage thing that we can see happen for kids around that time frame. And think about it. When they're teenagers, they're wanting to have more freedom. They're probably arguing with you more because they're wanting that freedom. They might be feeling attacked because they're constantly being told by somebody, their teacher or the parents, that they're doing something wrong. Or they just might feel ugly or dirty. Because, you know how kids can be. They can be kind of harsh and bully and might not feel very confident in themselves. So this is an area to be looking at, either feeling attacked or ugly or gross. And then bedwetting or bladder issues. This goes back to a territorial issue. Someone is getting in your space. Again, this is going to be, you know, what is your space? Your space can be your body. It can be your bedroom. It can be your home. It can be, you know, your place in school. We got to look at all the areas, but territory is your place, your space. And ear infection is wanting or not wanting to hear something. Again, kids are getting these often. Maybe it's because they're getting yelled at a lot, or they simply want to hear their parents' voice and they can't hear it. You can go both directions. So this is very common, especially as kids are, you know, in their sassy stages in their toddler years, or simply just being in an environment that is maybe too much noise and it's not feeling safe to them. And then we've got teeth issues. And this is an area that I first look at nutritional issues first, because that is mostly what it is. I've seen kids have a quote unquote healthy diet and still be deficient in cell salts that are crucial to the enamel and development of the teeth. This is where I'm a fan of using cell salts to support the teeth. Cell salts like calc fos and calc fluor are best for teeth issues. If after cell salts are used for at least 6 months, there are still issues, then I look to a bite conflict. I will have a link to cell salts also in the show notes. Growing pains, this is part of growing and there are no connections to them. But here again, I would support using calc fos and calc fluor for supporting growing bones. Warts, like I said, with my son is a separation conflict. Constipation and or diarrhea. Again, we want to look to the basic needs of the body first when it comes to constipation. Make sure that a child is getting enough water. If they're constipated, and also look into if they are holding their bowels. This happened with my son. He was holding his bowels at school and got extremely backed up. So after getting things moving for him, I talked to him about the importance of listening to his body when it needs to go and being comfortable with asking to use the bathroom at school, and he never had the problem again. If after basic needs are met, constipation or diarrhea doesn't go away, it's an indigestible conflict. Something was hard to digest. The person, the child, viewed a situation and it was difficult to digest, not easy to absorb and digest for them. So here again, you know, I'm naming the conflicts, but knowing the conflict is helpful. It's a place to start. But making the connections to these and resolving them is going to require a deeper dive. And it's very individual work. There isn't a standard protocol for this, but knowing the conflict is a starting point. And so we want to teach our kids, you know, this new understanding. How do you start teaching this? Everybody asks me, how do I incorporate this work with my kids and help them be healthy, conscious beings, right? So if you have kids and they've been surrounded with the common beliefs about germs, colds, and viruses, etc., it's going to take time to make the shift. And it's no different than when you started to hear this information, right? So there's going to be time where we're moving from one idea to a different way of thinking. And that's okay. There's no reason to rush the process. And you don't want a kid to feel like, you know, just puking on them about all this information. That's just going to be overwhelming and they're not going to absorb it anyway. They best absorb when you just give them little nuggets here and there, plant the seeds every once in a while. So there's no need to sit down with them and give them a lesson on GNM. Okay. So start with modeling it yourself. When you have symptoms, instead of saying mommy's sick, instead say mom is going through a healing phase, and you can throw in a few things like my body knows exactly what it's doing. It's repairing. Isn't it amazing? I just need to make sure to keep my head in the right lane and give my body a message that it's safe and it's going to do the rest all on its own. You know, this is the language we need to use when we have symptoms. And this goes for when they're in a healing phase as well. Shift your language to, oh, you must have resolved something, instead of, oh no, you are sick. You know, two different statements, sentences here, and with two different feelings. Oh, you must have resolved something. Oh, how great, how fun, how interesting. You know, how good that your body is now moving into the healing phase. This is a celebration versus, oh no, you're sick. There's fear behind that, right? So if you hear them talk about germs, that's also a great time to plant some more seeds. Every time an opportunity presents itself, you just plant a few seeds. You don't have to go and lecture them and sit down and talk to them for hours. It's just planting seeds every once in a while as these things come up. When my son has symptoms, we talk over what happened a few days before and how he perceived a situation and now how it's showing up in his body. This helps him make the connections to why his body is doing what it's doing. And he can always see, oh, I can totally see why I'm experiencing this symptom based on that perception of that event that I experienced. Now, it's important to take note on the age of your kids and how you do this. A child that is 4 is not going to grasp this like a child that is 10. Kids that are under 7 don't necessarily need to see all those connections because, again, a lot of times their stuff is connected to you as a parent. But it doesn't hurt to talk about their bodies and how they know how to heal on their own at that age. A great opportunity is when they have a bruise or a cut and you talk to them about how they don't have to do anything for them to heal. The body will do it on its own and then watch the healing process right before their eyes. Just think about a child that is told that they need to wear a mask, take this shot, don't touch this, your body is scary. How is that child feeling? In addition, what this does to the nervous system, keeping them on high alert all the time. The body doesn't feel safe when it's giving these messages. In addition, kids are taught to reach for remedies outside themselves when they have symptoms. Let's get you some medicine. Let's take you to the doctor. You need this pill or this shot. This is programming them to reach for outside remedies to fix their problems. This can lead to a substance abuse or chronic use of pharmaceuticals in the future. It's like we indoctrinate them with this idea that you're broken. There's something wrong with you and you need a potion from the outside in order to fix you. And this can go both ways too. I didn't reach for pharmaceuticals when my son was young, but I was constantly reaching for a natural remedy whenever he had symptoms. We are literally showing them to ignore what their bodies are trying to say and to take something to fix it. Starting at a young age, teaching your kids that their bodies are self-healing and that they are their best healer is the best gift you can give your child. Another popular question I get is, how do I prevent my child from having conflicts? First, I want to mention that trying to be a helicopter mom and prevent your kid from having conflicts is not healthy for you or your child. I find that when people move to this model of healing and thinking, they go from fearing their bodies to fearing having a conflict and experiencing a healing phase. It's really jumping from one fear to another. That is not the intention of this work. The bigger picture is to teach us to live consciously aware of how we respond to life. If we're fearing going through a healing phase, then we're not really seeing the value in this work. The best way you can help your child prevent conflicts is to teach them to be self-aware and adaptable. You will need to model this. You will also need to work on your patterns, because how you respond to life will most likely be the way they respond to life as well. This is why entire families change when a mother or father does the work in the MBR program. When students first join, they will want to help their kids and partners, and we literally tell them, you don't need to do anything. You just need to work on you. By the time they are done working on themselves, their entire families have changed for the better. You don't want to turn into this mom that is constantly saying, oh no, did that situation bother you? Or try and get in their head thinking that you know how they perceive situations and try to protect them in a smothering way. It's just not healthy. That's just being overly protective, trying to prevent them from having conflicts. Parenting is the best teacher. It has taught me to clean up my own shit to help myself and my son. And most of all, it's taught me to let go of control. Yes, your children are born into your lives, but their life journey is theirs, not yours. You can't protect them from everything. You can't solve all their problems. Your job is to lay a solid foundation, which in my opinion includes everything I've mentioned today and obviously more, and let go knowing that you have guided them the best that you can. They will mess up. They will have conflicts that cause them to have physical symptoms, and that is all part of the journey. I have a list of some tips for you on who you need to be as a parent to help your kids from having conflicts. This list comes from working with hundreds of people over the years and seeing the wounds that came from their childhood that led to their chronic health symptoms. First one is let go of perfectionism. It's the root to why your child will fear trying new things. The fear of failing or disappointing you will be enough to make them feel not capable or good enough, which they will carry their entire life. Don't poo-poo your child's emotions or shove them under the rug. Kids need to be validated and heard. When kids come to us and they tell us they are sad and why, and then we say, well, that's not so bad, and tell them why they shouldn't be sad, we are not validating them. Remember that emotions don't cause conflicts. They accompany them. Perception creates conflicts, and with that perception are emotions and beliefs. So once you validate their feelings, helping them to see things in a different light is going to shift the whole situation. Let them use their voice and speak. Don't do this, I'm an adult and that's why shit. You know, or tell them that adults have a voice and kids don't. Teach your kids to speak up for themselves rather than be in fear of saying something. I see too many adults be in fear of speaking up because as a child, they are wired that speaking up came with scary consequences. Teach them what boundaries are, and it's okay to say no. Boundaries are very rarely taught to kids, and it's no wonder when they become adults, it affects almost every aspect of their life. They need to know how to protect their space, their time, their energy, their emotions. And if we don't teach them that boundaries create that fence, that boundary of not allowing someone in, then they're going to be greatly affected in all of their relationships. And it's going to start to show in their health. The area of boundaries is the biggest area when it comes to us helping our students, helping them really step into that 2.0 version of themselves. It is the most impactful work that you will do. Next is be a model of what personal responsibility looks like. Don't say, you make me do these things or act this way. Take full responsibility for how you're acting and responding to situations. sit down with them and actually say you're sorry. I mean, go back to when you were a child. I know for me, I heard my mom say she was sorry once, and it wasn't until I was about 37 years old. There were so many times in my life I would have wished and begged, I did beg her in a lot of ways to say she was sorry. But it was always everybody else's fault. There was no personal responsibility taken there. And it was teaching me that mom was always going to be right, no matter if I felt she was wrong. And it was always my fault or someone else's. Saying sorry is super powerful and builds that trust between you and your child. In addition, you are teaching them to take personal responsibility. It's going to be a monkey see, monkey do. Next up is let go of worry. A lot of people feel that worrying is mothering. When you realize that worry is often like a prayer for what you don't want, you're making pictures of fear of what you don't want, of worst case scenarios, and part of that feels responsible because, oh, I'm the mother. I have to think about all the possibilities that could go wrong, and it feels like the right thing to be doing because I need to be protecting and thinking about all this stuff. But when you realize the energy of worry and the energy of fear, it's focusing on what you don't want. Your kids are picking up on those worries. It doesn't make them feel safe at all. Worry comes from that lack of trust, a lack of adaptability and personal power. This is often a pattern from childhood that is connected to anxiety that is then passed on to our kids. Understand that you need to convey confidence and transfer that to your child, because that peace, that groundedness, that safety and confidence, that's what the nervous system needs in order to persist through the healing phase and to complete it without reactivating a new conflict. And it also is what's needed to prevent conflicts to begin with. Next up is be adaptable. It's learning how to be this adaptable person where things don't have to be a certain way, where you're willing to roll with the punches. And whenever it arises, you just have that confidence to handle it. You can't fake that place though. And that is where the work needs to happen. Past trauma and subconscious patterns are all a part of that work. Here's the deal. Kids keep losing their shit because you lose yours. Our kids pick up on our dysregulation, our tone of voice, our body language, our anxiety, anger, and irritability. Our anger causes their hearts to race. Our anxiety causes them anxiety. Our peace and regulation calms their body. We all know what it's like to be around someone who is chronically anxious, raging, or irritable. We often feel their stress in our own body. This is why your number one parenting hack is taking care of yourself and finding more personal regulation. You need to do the work to heal you and for your kids. You need to look inside and look at the stories, the traumas, and the things that you've been through in your life and start to see, oh, no wonder I see the world that way. But from this new place of consciousness, I realize that it's not serving me anymore, that it's not going to create the results that I want. That's not what I want to pass down to my children. So I've got to rewire. I've got to reprogram. I've got to rework this. And you can work with any personal history. There's nothing that has happened to you or that you've done or trauma that you've had that you can't reimagine, revise, rework into an amazing present and future. These concepts that I'm recommending to you of who you need to be as a parent are what we teach in MBR, which help you step into your 2.0 self, help yourself, and help your children. This is breaking generational patterns. You are the one that is here to break the patterns so your children no longer have to experience the same things that you experienced. This is the best gift that you can give your kids is by working on you. So I want to give you 4 resources that will help you parent your kids so they are healthy, conscious beings and also help you work on your own patterns. The first one is Shelley Robinson on IG. She is at raising_yourself. She's got excellent parenting advice, and her advice is right in alignment with talking about, you know, working on yourself first as a parent to be a better parent. It's teaching you how to raise consciously aware kids, but you also becoming a consciously aware parent. It goes hand in hand. So she's an excellent resource. The second resource is the Whole Brain Child book and workbook by Daniel Siegel and Tina Payne Bronson. The Whole Brain Child Book and Workbook is a great resource because it helps you to see the development of your child's brain, number one. Number two, what your children are needing, how they need you to respond so that they have healthy responses and are able to process situations. The workbook and the book itself are just great place to start understanding of how do I need to respond to my kids. First of all, again, you need to work on yourself, which they do talk about that in the book, but they give you tips on in these certain situations, this is how you validate your child and then help them work through the situation. So I highly recommend those books. The third resource is my course on raising healthy, conscious kids. This is where you learn the basics of GNM and subconscious work for your kids' symptoms. You can get help weekly from myself or an MBR coach to find the connections to your child's symptoms and how to resolve them. I also provide meditations, daily activities to keep their brain healthy, and a what to do when the kids feel like poo sheet is also in that course. There's lots of resources in there. And again, there's the weekly support that will help you find the connections as well as resolve what is connected to your children's symptoms. And then the last resource is if you're ready to work on your subconscious patterns so you can change your life and the life of your kids, request a custom healing plan so we can give you the exact steps you need to take based on your situation. And the link to all of these resources is in the show notes. Also, I want to mention, if you don't have kids yet, the best thing you can do to set them up for a healthy nervous system is to do this work before you get pregnant. We have so many MBR babies from those that have been in MBR, and the moms tell us that they are such happy, healthy, calm babies. The more grounded and peaceful of an individual you can become, you're going to have the healthiest, most brilliant, radiant child on this planet. Isn't that what we want for the world? To have confident, conscious children that are not in fear, can adapt easily, and see every experience as an opportunity to grow? Think of how our world would be different. You can help create this change by starting with yourself and your children. I know I've packed a lot into this episode, but I just, you know, get really, really extremely passionate about this work that I want to cover as much as I can. If you enjoyed this episode and feel like your family or friends would benefit from it, please share it. The world needs to know this information, and it all starts with planting a seed. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.